starting nine.
Let's go.
Episode 206.25. We are reacting to game three of the World Series between the LA Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays. This game was, if you listen to episode 206, we threw out some predictions for what you could expect to see in this game. One of those predictions, both of us, Dallas and myself, that one held up pretty nicely. The other one, not so much. What do we mean by that? Walker Buehler fucking shoved. He shoved Dallas, and we knew that that was, I mean, spoiler alert, he's a very good pitcher. You already knew that. So you knew that you were in for a nice little treat if you weren't going to get it from both guys. You knew you were going to get it from one guy. And if you were going to put your money on which guy you were going to get it from, I think we would probably both put our money on Walker Buehler coming out and shoving. And one of the starts that we cited was his Game 3 start in the World Series back in 2018. He went 7 innings, 2 hits, 0 earned runs, no walks, and 7 strikeouts, I think. How did he follow up in his second Game 3 of the World Series start tonight, Dallas? He went 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts, Dallas.
First pitcher in big league postseason history to go 6 innings and punch out 10.
That seems wild. Like, that seems like a fake stat. How is that possible? Of all the great pitchers that have ever made it to the Fall Classic, Walker Buehler is the first guy to go 6 and punch out 10? How?
It does. It seems very foreign. Like, you've had some extremely dominant arms in the postseason, and at no point in time has that. That's
when
just
was the
insane.
First World Series? 1901?
Yes.
Or 1904. Yeah, I think it was 1904.
Sure.
I know the Red Sox were established in 1901, but I also want to say that the Red Sox in 2004, it was the 100th World Series ever played. So I don't know how that works. Anyways, yeah, not important. It's been a long time. It's been over 100 years that we've been playing this little tournament here. The MLB postseason, finishing off with the World Series. Walker Buehler, the first pitcher in Major League history to have a start of 6 innings and 10 strikeouts.
Well, we said that this was going to have to be. I said this was going to be a hallmark start. Did I not say that?
Yeah, no World Series.
I said this
World
was World going to be a hallmark start for Walker Buehler, and I don't know. If a record setting, if a historical performance, does that count?
I think it counts, yeah. Like, if you're breaking out the record books, you'd probably be like, oh, that was a pretty good start. That's a pretty good start for old time.
That's
pants.
Exactly what we got.
Yeah, his pants
and
were.
That's exactly
what
this Dodger team needed. And somebody asked this in the chat, and just to kind of keep it moving, is Kenley Jansen back? Is it safe to say? Is it sane to say? That wasn't a typo. Because it's not crazy to think, after the last two times what we've seen out of Kenley Jansen, that he is, I don't want to say, maybe back is a little crazy.
Mm.
Maybe it's a little not safe.
I think
safe.
Randy Arozarena would probably disagree with that sentiment.
But is he featuring what you would like to see as opposed to what maybe you have seen recently from
no.
him?
No.
Yes.
Nope.
He's, no, as far as stuff-wise, he's cutting
stuff-wise,
the ball at 93,
yeah,
94.
Sure. But even in garbage time, which I don't know if you can call this garbage time, but the game was pretty much in hand. It wasn't a safe situation. You go to Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning. And if you're going to say that Kenley Jansen's back, let's just say hypothetically this was a safe situation, right? Or maybe, you know, we're new age baseball now. You go to your best reliever, your back end, your bullpen ace. Maybe you go to him in the – we saw it with Liam Hendricks against the White Sox. It might have been against the Astros. I can't remember. But Liam Hendricks got deployed in an inning. It was like the sixth, but it was like, this is where the game's on the line. This is the meat of the order. And the Rays don't necessarily have a meat of the order, but if there's one guy that you can't let beat you, it's Randy Arozarena, and he homered off Kenley Jansen. So, like, if the question is Kenley Jansen back? The stuff's back. Sure. Like, he was throwing 94 his last time out, too. So, like, the velocity's back. The cut, it's moving. But let me ask you what your confidence level is in Kenley Jansen versus, like, let's put it on 100% percentile scale.
I would say 60 to 70%. Just because he still has the stuff, and that's what you're looking at. And if you put him in those positions, things change. He's still a guy who is used to being in those leverage situations, feeding off the crowd, closer, game reliant upon his performance. So in that moment, quote unquote garbage time, he's not only not motivated by the lack of fans being there, but he's also not motivated by the moment. And you're saying, really? It's the World Series. Well, he's been there, and he's been there in big moments, and he's also not had success. So if you're just looking at stuff, yes, it's something to be excited about because it's not everything that you saw prior that gave you the uncertainty of whether or not you even wanted to run him out there in a leverage spot. So now if you're working your way from, all right, well, the stuff looks like it could compete, what does he feel like? Well, you're now assessing a former closer who was, you know, Hall of Fame trajectory maybe, and now he's in this garbage time situation. So it's still tough to take away what you think he might be able to do. I still think that the stuff, what you're seeing right here, gives you something to be positive about. Because if you're getting starts like this out of a Walker Buehler, maybe you're going to get something similar to a Urias, then Kinley is going to be used in situations where you're not completely reliant upon him and you're okay with it, especially if it's 94, 95 and he's given up a solo in a fucking 5-run lead.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, that's already too much time that we've spent on Kenley Jansen. That's not the story of the night. The story of the night's Walker Buehler. And I guess another story of the night would be Charlie Morton.
Austin Barnes,
homering out of the 9 spot. Good for him. 9-hole power. We love to see it.
Small ball.
But Charlie Morton having a sub-1 in the postseason and then giving up 5 earned is not something that either one of us expected. I don't think that anyone expected that. And did he have the best? I mean, he kind of flipped a switch in the postseason and he became godlike in the postseason. But this is a guy that had like a 4.5 ERA during the year. So it's not like he was phenomenal. He was pitching well above his means in the postseason. So I guess he was kind of due to come back down to earth. Not the best time to come back down to earth when after game 1, you get your shit kicked in, and then game 2, the Rays are like, wait just a fucking minute, all you people that are switching your picks to Dodgers in 4, Dodgers in 5, now we got a series, it's tied. So to follow that up, I mean, you knew that it was going to be a tough night for the Rays offense going up against Walker Buehler, but I think a lot of us kind of saw or thought we were going to see a pitcher's duel where it was like, all right, let's have a dick measuring contest between these bullpens. And we know how good the Rays bullpen is. So were you at all surprised at Charlie Morton's performance? And how much of a backbreaker do you think a game like this could be for Tampa going into game 4, knowing that you're getting Urias for LA, who's been pitching very well this postseason, and you have a bullpen game? Is that advantage or disadvantage for Tampa?
Come on. I don't care how confident you are in that stable to not have the just automatic go-to, and whether or not Urias represents that for the Dodgers, that's what he represents right now that the Rays do not have. And that matters. I don't care how confident you are in that bullpen. You want somebody that you can just, let's say it's even just 4 innings. Somebody that you can account for 4 solid innings, 5 solid innings. If you don't have that right here in this moment, then yeah, this is like because what I tell you at the beginning of this thing, 69% of the time.
By the way,
69% of the time, the team who wins this game goes on to win the World Series. I told you that at the very beginning, which is why it was going to be a hallmark start, like I said, for Walker Buehler, because he was going to make the start that put the Dodgers over the hump. It won them the game that is giving them the opportunity to finally put it to bed. Regardless of where they may have been in the past in this scenario, they're here again.
Yeah, I was watching
Buehler made his start.
I was watching MLB Network before game 3 and Intentional Talk was on. And it's our guys, Chris Rose, Kevin Millar, and they were talking about game 3. And this was after we had recorded episode 206, where Dallas dropped the nugget of, you know, 69% of teams that win game 3 will go on to win the World Series. And Chris Rose was like, and the percentage of teams that win game 3, it's around 70% that go on to win the series. And I knew he didn't say it because he didn't say 69 because he didn't want Millar to make a 69 joke. Because you know that he was going to do that. You knew that.
Love it.
Love Millar. I feel like that's another guy. We need to get Chris Rose on here, too. They should come on together. I don't know. Would you want to do them separately or together?
I think they'd be better separately.
Yeah, I think so, too. Chris Rose has some good stories. I mean, that dude, when we were at the Easton convention, there was one of the kids was, like, clowning him for his age and physical condition. And then Chris Rose was like, yeah, do a fucking push-up contest with me right now. And just murdered the kid. Kid was doing push-ups. He collapsed. And then C. Rose just kept doing – he doubled him up. You don't want to come at Chris Rose under those circumstances. So we talked about Jansen. We talked about Buehler. We talked about Morton. The Randy Rosarena home run, which happened in the ninth inning, was not a factor in this game at all. Made it a 6-2 ball game. 10 hits for the Dodgers. This is Mookie Betts, 2 hits out of the leadoff spot. Turner went deep, 2 hits. Muncy, 2 hits. Drove in a run? Yeah, he drove in 2 runs. Muncy drove in 2 runs. So this Dodgers lineup is just relentless, especially when you got a guy like Austin Barnes hitting a homer out of the ninth spot. Is there any other performance from tonight that you wanted to highlight?
Just that bunt, the bunt play by Austin Barnes as well. And not only does it go to show that they are willing to do, teams in this situation are willing to move the game along, especially with what they have at that time, a 3-1 lead, and that safety squeeze put them ahead 4-1. Trade that out for the run, but you can do that with a guy in the lineup who also has the ability to pop the homer. And that's the depth that the Dodgers feature. That's what I think we all sort of expected to be the difference maker, regardless of what the bullpen for the Rays was going to be able to do. I think we all felt like we were going to see them a lot. So is it advantage offense being able to get a look at these guys with frequency over this, 8-9 day period? Should it go 7 days or 7 games? So I think we're seeing the depth of the Dodgers offense right now kind of play out.
Yeah, I mean,
and that bunt play and the homer by the same guy kind of just highlighted that for me.
Yeah, the top 3 hitters in the lineup tonight for the Dodgers are hitting over 300 with an OPS over 1,000. So,
and where are they hitting in the lineup?
1, 2, 3. Betts, Seager, Turner. And then you got Muncy, who's hitting 364 with a 954. So he's right there. So your top four hitters in that Dodgers lineup are hitting north of 300 with an OPS at or around 1,000. Like that.
So the guy in the 9-hole for the Dodgers had a stronger game than anybody for the Rays.
Yeah. Well, unless you want to say that Rosarena at the end there kind of tagged himself in to the conversation.
What, hit a solo homer? Barnes hit a homer too?
Yeah. So that's.
And then he also handled the bat well.
That's what we got for game 3. Again, bullpen game for Tampa, I'm assuming, because Kevin Cash hasn't named a starter. Glasnow, you would assume, is going to go game 5. It's looking like it's going to be Urias versus the bullpen game. We don't know who's going to be the opener. You can probably expect to see Yarbrough get some, at least 3 innings there. Maybe not to start the game, but he'll probably be the guy that gives you the most innings for Tampa in game 4. I think this series has gone about the way that I expected it to. Like, you know, I think in terms of tonight, like we talked about how it was supposed to be a pitcher's duel and Morton gave up the 5 earned runs. But I think still a lot of us were leaning that this would be LA's game. But game 4, more of a wild card pick in terms of who do you think? Because, I mean, you would say, like, it depends on how you phrase it. The Dodgers have a starter going that's pitched the shit out of the baseball this postseason, and the Rays don't have a starter.
And he's going to neutralize some lefties that you're looking to rely upon as well, or could potentially, right? You need Choi. You need Kiermaier.
Mm-hmm.
You need Meadows.
Yep.
You need Lau. You need those lefties in that lineup to do work, mm-hmm. and you're about to stare down a lefty blowing 97 from the left side who's done a decent job, and that is not something that gives you a shit ton of confidence.
No.
Because, to my point, that's a guy the Dodgers are looking at going, yep, four or five innings. And the Rays are looking at it and going, okay, he's going to go one. He's going to go like maybe one and two third. And then we'll be able to get this guy. And then Yarbrough will come in and he'll give us three. Like, and the Dodgers have already looked at the first part of this game and accounted for it, on top of accounting for neutralizing some threats that you absolutely need to step up if you're the Rays and you're going to give yourself any sort of longevity in this series. Otherwise, it's fucking Wego.
Yep. I have a name in mind. I've been pretty good with these picks, but I want yours first. If the Rays, win game four of the World Series to tie this thing up at two games apiece, your X factor is blank.
I'm riding Choi. If he's in the lineup, I'm riding Choi.
Okay. Because
absolutely riding Choi.
Because my X factor, Dallas, if the Tampa Bay Rays are going to win game four of the 2020 World Series, your X factor, your big name guy, the guy that's going to break out, and we're going to be talking about this individual after game four. We're going to be like, that's the reason why the Rays offense got going. That's the reason why this World Series is tied. His name,
Adamas,
is Manny Margot. That's the guy that I'm looking at in game four to have a big night at the plate. In a relatively tight ball game, it's going to be a save situation. I don't want to say low scoring, but maybe like 5-3. You like 5-3? I like 5-3.
I don't.
5-3 Tampa, series like 5-3. Tied. Manny Margot goes 3-for-4.
I like, oh, God. I want Choi. I know you want Choi.
I'm not saying Choi can't have a good game, too. They can both have good games.
It's just that left on left.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, he's due. We can open this up to questions from the chat while we wrap up this discussion. So get in your questions now from the chat. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify tomorrow morning, which would be Saturday morning, join us for our live streams during every single World Series game. And then after the games are over, we do a mini pod recapping the games, and then we open it up to questions from the chat. Breakout candidate from the Dodgers. Okay, so if there's a breakout candidate from the Dodgers in Game 4, someone that we haven't really heard a ton from, I think Jock Peterson is due to pop one in a big spot. I feel like that's a guy that has a lot of thump in his bat, and we haven't – it's been a lot of Mookie Betts, it's been a lot of Cody Bellingers, the usual suspects. I think Jock Peterson is due to have a big hit. Maybe it's not a homer. Maybe it's a double with ducks in the pond. But, yeah, I've got Manny Margot for Tampa, and I've got Jock Peterson for the Doyers. Dallas?
I mean, does it feel like that they're – like, who's been disappointing in the Dodgers lineup?
I mean, in terms of – like, it's hard to say disappointing because I feel like – like, the guys that you needed to hit have hit, and the guys that haven't hit, I mean, like, Bellinger, like, you would, like, we just highlighted Bellinger as a guy, huge hit in game 7, brought them to the World Series. He's hitting 182. He's got that one homer in game 1. He followed up the NLCS game 7 homer with the game 1 World Series homer. Hasn't made much noise outside of that. So, is it Bellinger?
I mean, I think that's probably an option. It's just, like, breakout is different than. Because I feel like they've done their job.
Everyone has broken out. That everyone that you've needed to check in and be like, hey, I'm here too, they've done it at some point during this Dodgers postseason run. Like, there's no one that you're sort of dragging to the finish line here. Like, has there been sustained performance the entire way from everybody? No. But when has that ever happened in the postseason where a guy is just red hot for the entire fucking postseason? Like, that's not a normal thing that happens. So everyone that you need to check in at some point has been stamping their attendance card.
Yeah, and that's
AJ Pollock.
That just sure. I just think that even in spots, this is just tonight was the most purest example, and I it's redundant, but the purest example of the depth that this team has. That just makes it so suffocating if the offense is clicking.
Mm-hmm. I got a question that's for you, all. Dallas, that's not in the chat. I got a question for you right now. Do you have the balls to say that the Tampa Bay Rays won't win another game in this World Series? Do you have the balls to say that it's over and that this is going to be a gentleman's sweep?
Yes.
You do have the balls to say that.
Yes.
You do.
Yeah.
That's how you feel.
Yep.
The Rays don't get another one.
Nope.
Wow. Wow.
Nope. Do you remember the text I sent between you, me, and Jay Hay?
Maybe. I refresh my memory.
Just says this series could be over before we reconvene next.
Oh, yeah. You did say that. Yeah. Wow. So Dallas has the balls to say that the Rays don't get another game. That is quite the call. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. Have to acknowledge the size of Dallas's balls here tonight.
Yeah, wheelbarrow size.
That is something.
I just think this offense has really started to feel its way, really started to find its way, in terms of, like you said, who's clicking, top of the lineup. Mm-hmm. The reason I asked you that question is because you've got to start the party. Table needs to be set. Those guys are performing, and then the reason I reinforced that statement with what the rest of the guys in the lineup are doing is they're getting their jobs done. Other guys are in position to allow those jobs to be successful by virtue of productive outs. And what have I been telling you about the Rays offense as opposed to what the Dodgers have shown to be able to do? And that's build innings.
Yep.
And that's why I feel like this is, at this point, with the pitching the way it has unfolded, today was your next best option. Look, yesterday they had to win. They did. Today was going to be their chance to buy themselves time. Didn't happen.
Did not happen.
Didn't
Will
happen.
Has a question. If game five is the potential clincher for the Dodgers, do we see Walker Buehler out of the bullpen? That would be what, Sunday?
Yeah, what's today, Friday? Yeah. Maybe.
For an inning. That would be a bullpen mm-hmm. day?
Correct.
Yeah.
And again, it all depends on how heavy
the
of a workload these guys are going.
Yeah, what's the score? Yeah.
But yeah, because that would be Walker Buehler's last bullpen of the year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you look at it.
This is a good one. Because we had this discussion on the stream as well. It's only been three games, and there's no real answer to this question. If you had to determine an MVP of this World Series right now, who is it? I'm not saying forecast, like, when the Dodgers win or if the Dodgers win, who's going to be the MVP? Like, who has been the MVP of this World Series so far?
Is it not Mookie?
Yeah, I mean, he's created havoc on the base pass. Like, even if he has the one homer, and I know that, like, OPS is sexy. Like, when you're, like, homers and OPS are for determining an MVP of a series. But even when he's not homering, he's hitting rockets back up the middle. He's swiping second base. Even when if he walks or gets a base hit, he's on second base. Like, everything is automatically minimum a double when Mookie Betts is on. He's turned into fucking Ricky Henderson in this World Series. It's 1989 all over again.
So I like Mookie.
Seager's right there. Seager has a case, but I feel like Mookie's the sexy pick. So, yeah, I would say that, you know, you'd probably not be wrong if it were Mookie.
But that's, I mean, and that's why I was kind of rooting for Turner to come up big there with another knock, because I feel like that could be the cementer for him if he has a good game tomorrow.
Yeah, Turner's got an 11.26 OPS, Seager a 12.38, so he's leading the way, and then Mookie a 10.12. But it's not all about
Mookie.
OPS.
How many bags? How many bags for Mookie? Four?
Four. I mean, he had two tonight. He's still two in one inning in game one. I think he went 0-for in game two, so.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this is that's
gentleman's sweep coming up. You heard it here.
It's going to be a tough pill to swallow if that's the case. And
that's coming. I can't
wait
to.
It's not that I'm rooting against it. I'm just saying it would be a tough pill to swallow if that's how it ends up being, and the Dodgers win the World Series, and it's not much of a competition, and Mookie Betts is the MVP. Like, I'm probably, you know, I'm probably not going to look at Twitter the next day. Well, it's going to be an off day. The day after the World Series is over, guess what? I ain't got shit to do.
Can I say this? Because somebody asked this, not famous. If Kershaw shoves game five, is he MVP regardless of how well Mookie Seager do? I won't say regardless of how well Mookie Seager do. We're going to need a gem out of Kershaw.
Yeah, like it's going to have to be like extra inning. It's 3-3 ball game. And yeah, like Kershaw.
He's going to have to go. I mean, like shut or one and dominate for
It's going to have to be like what he did against the Brewers. Eight shut. And what does Mookie do in games four and five? We don't know.
That's why I said no to the regardless factor.
Yeah, like Mookie has the chance. Like it's his to lose, I think, at this point. We'll take a couple more. Are you going to wear a Mookie Betts shirt if they win it? I made a bet with a Dodgers fan on Twitter when the Dodgers were down 3-1 to the Braves. I can't remember her name, but she said if the Dodgers come back and go to the World Series, will you wear a Mookie Betts Dodgers jersey? And I said yes. And if they didn't win, she was gonna like donate to like a charity of my choosing or something like that. The Dodgers did win, and I gave her my address, so I'm waiting to see if she's gonna send me the jersey. But I mean, regardless of if the Dodgers win the World Series or not, I will have to wear that shirt and post it. I will post a picture of it. I'm a man of my word. So that's gonna happen regardless. I'm sure the internet will act accordingly when that picture hits the internet. Alma, that's her name. She is sending it. Okay. Shout out to Sarah. She's the one that has a Stay Hot Rocket tattoo on her forearm. She's one badass. She's a badass woman. Do we get another? This is the last one from Matt. Do we get another 10 punchy performance? And if so, who is it?
From Kershaw? Is that what we're asking?
Could be Glasnow. Why not?
Could be.
It's not going to be in game four. So if we're looking at a clincher in game five, like your options are, I mean, it's not going to be. Yeah, if you're looking at game five, it's going to be Kershaw versus Glasnow again. So it's going to be one of those two guys.
I want to say yes because I want it because you know I'm the romantic.
So you think it's going to be Kershaw in game five?
Give me Kershaw with an even 10.
I feel like we could see that. All right.
Kershaw with an even 10 through maybe 8. Yeah, hopefully. 7 plus maybe.
Yeah. What do you mean, Sarah? I did give you credit. I shouted out Alma and I shouted out you and your tattoo. I gave you double credit. All right. Thank you for watching the stream tonight. Thanks for tuning in to the live podcast. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on Saturday morning before game four, it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to, I'm calling the Rays in game four. I think we're going to be looking at a tied World Series going into game five. Dallas does not agree. He's got Dodgers closing this thing out in five games. Gentlemen sweep. Rays don't win another game. I don't feel the same way. I think Tampa makes this thing even. I think we go into Glasnow Kershaw in game five with a tied World Series. It'll be fun either way. Hang with us through the end of this World Series. Tune into the live streams. Make sure you tell your friends if they're big into baseball. Check out the Starting Nine podcast. We appreciate you guys for hanging with us. Dallas, any final thoughts?
No final thoughts. Just shout out to Walker Buehler. 11 straight playoff starts with 6-plus strikeouts. That's a major league record. 6 innings, 10 punchouts. That's a record as well. Incredible job by the young Hollywood Heater.
All right. We'll be back Saturday night. More streams, more podcasts. We'll see you then.
We out.